My name's Adele Lewis, and I am the Deputy State Chief Medical Examiner.
Yeah, okay, so I want to talk about this report in just a moment, but first I'd like to ask a couple of background questions, if you don't mind. And I think I'd like to start by having you give the brief description or explanation of the County Medical Examiner system. And included in that, I'd like for you to talk about, you know, what it is that normally the kinds of things that trigger an autopsy is that an okay place to start?
Sure, that's fine. And I'll tell you just a little bit about my background first too, so you have a sort of an idea where I'm coming from. I'm a medical doctor who did training in general pathology, which is the study of human disease, and then a year extra training in forensic pathology, which is conducting death investigations to determine the cause and manner of death. I worked at the Davidson County Medical Examiner's Office for a little bit over 11 years before coming to the Department of Health to become the Deputy State Chief Medical Examiner. So that was in March of 2016 when I moved over here. So what prompts an autopsy to be ordered? So everything is driven at the county level. All of the authority is vested with the county medical examiners. Each county has a medical doctor who is appointed by the mayor and who is then confirmed by the county governing body to act as the medical examiner. In most small counties, that person is an emergency room physician or a family practice physician. So they also have a full-time day job taking care of live people. So those folks are the ones to whom the suspicious or unnatural or unusual deaths are to be reported. They then decide if they would like to send the case to one of the five regional forensic centers for an autopsy. So we've got five regional forensic centers, one in Shelby County, Davidson County, Hamilton County, Knox County, and in Johnson City. Those are staffed by board-certified forensic pathologists who perform the actual autopsies. You have another question? I may have derailed myself a little bit.
No, that's fine. You're doing well. If you would talk about what the comptroller's audit discovered with regard to reporting and that system, if you would.
So the Office of the State Chief Medical Examiner was only made a full-time position in 2016, and so Commissioner Dreisner recognized that we had a very fragmented system and that we needed to have some more cohesion. And so he brought on two full-time board-certified forensic pathologists, myself and the state chief, who's Dr. Julia, J-U-L-I-A, Gooden, G-O-O-D-I-N. So we've been here since 2016. We have thus far been able to reach out to all of the county medical examiners and the investigators that they use. We have revamped the guidelines for death scene investigation and distributed those. We've done multiple educational seminars. We have a two-day session where we go out to various places. We've been doing this for 4 years now. And we try to, it's called bridging the gap between law enforcement and medical examiner personnel to try to emphasize the different roles of those people at a given death scene. We also do on-demand trainings about death certification, death investigation, child death investigation. We're starting to do some domestic violence work. So that's what we've been doing since 2016. And I probably, again, veered off your original question.
Yeah, again, if you would, I'd like your take on what the auditor's report discovered with regard to the county-driven system.
Sure. So what the auditors found was that one of the major things that the Office of the State Chief Medical Examiner is charged with is keeping full reports on all death investigations performed by those county medical examiners. And up to the point where we became more of a centralized system, the reports of investigations really were not being reported to the Office of the State Chief Medical Examiner. They were getting autopsy reports from the regional forensic centers, but we really didn't know how much work the county medical examiners were doing because we weren't having those reports of deaths that weren't sent for autopsy. We had no idea what those numbers were like.
Yeah, and maybe just a word about the importance of that data. You know, how is that data used, and why is it important to the wider community?
Sure. So really the role of the forensic pathologist is really a true public health role. So we can identify, obviously we're having an opioid crisis right now, so we identify emerging drugs that are causing fatal overdoses. If we're not collecting that information, we don't know what people are dying from. And if we don't know what people are dying from, we can't prevent it.
Yeah. So, given the example that you named, the current problem with opioids and the rise in drug overdose deaths, if all of the counties are not reporting, then the numbers being reported for Tennessee with regard to opioid deaths is likely then being underreported.
Yes, I think that number is being underreported, and for several reasons. One is that sometimes there's a stigma to calling a death a drug overdose, and people are in a smaller county. They know the families, and they're reluctant to do that. Another is they don't have enough funding to send specimens for toxicology testing or to send people for autopsies. So I think we are losing that data, and that's a national phenomenon. I think the CDC estimates that we're missing probably about 25% of the overdose deaths.
Yeah. So obviously you and your superior haven't been on the job too terribly long, but you said you had met with a lot of these medical examiners. I'm curious from your perspective, you know, what is it that is the problem with the counties that are not reporting? Is it a question of resources, or is there something else going on?
I think it's largely a question of resources. Obviously, these county medical examiners want to do a good job for the people in their counties. The unfortunate problem is, like I said before, they are physicians who also are taking care of live patients and trying to make those decisions. Many of their offices don't get any budget at all. So when you're faced with running an office with no budget, it makes it difficult to prioritize that task.
Yeah. All right. By way of clarification for myself, just to be sure I understood something that you said a few moments ago with regard to the regional autopsy centers. Any death that that's being investigated as suspicious by local law enforcement, those bodies are being autopsied at the local center, so that's being addressed. But what you're saying is all other deaths in the county, those that are not suspicious perhaps and just being signed off on by the local county examiner, aren't always getting reported. Do I have that right?
You do, and they don't send all unnatural or unusual deaths for autopsy either. Some of these counties have a policy that if it's, for example, a fairly clearly cut, self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head, frequently they won't send those for autopsy because they don't feel that those are suspicious.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, well, glad I asked that question then. Okay, so of Tennessee's 95 counties, how many are routinely reporting?
We're getting reports from all about 17 or 18 of the counties now.
I'm sorry, again, I want to clarify. You have 17 or 18 that are not routinely reporting?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. All right. And what's your any kind of what I call it, a trend with regard to those counties? Do they, for instance, tend to be small or a low population or rural counties? Do you see any kind of similarities between the underreporting counties?
More frequently, those are the smaller and more rural counties where they may have only one or two doctors in the county, and these people are already kind of stretched to their limits trying to perform their duties.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, you've already covered some of this, but if you don't mind, I'd like for you to address again more specifically some of the things that that your office has done in the last couple of years to try to assist those county medical examiners in doing a better job of getting the reports properly filed. You know, kind of a laundry list of things that your office has done to be supportive?
Sure. So we've gone from having the Office of the State Chief Medical Examiner being staffed by one administrative person and a part-time forensic pathologist to having two full-time forensic pathologists, three full-time medical legal death investigators, another administrative person. We've just hired an epidemiologist to come work with us full-time, and we still have an administrative person in Johnson City where the physical records are stored. So we've really repopulated the office, and we've really been able to, I think, get really more involved in public health efforts just by physically being here in the building with the Department of Health. A lot of people don't think about the role of the medical examiner until there's a mass fatality, and then you haven't established those relationships. You don't know their procedures and protocols. So I think it's really been nice to be here in this building and be able to interact with the other offices and divisions of the department. We have, again, for the past 4 years, we were doing this before the office was fully staffed, but for the past 4 years, we've had a grant from the Department of Justice where we do 6 2-day trainings where we train law enforcement and medical examiner personnel side by side in working a virtual crime scene. We have gone to probably 30 or 40 counties and just done a one-day training with the medical examiners and their investigators that they use just on basic principles of death investigation. We rewrote the guidelines for death scene investigation, which hadn't been really looked at since 1999, so they were desperately in need of updating. We've updated the state mass fatality plan. We have built a database to store those reports of information. So we have an interim database that we call IMED. We've also secured a contract with a software company to develop a customized off-the-shelf case management system that we hope to deploy across the state for more uniform reporting. We've also been quite involved in the development of the electronic death registration system and the implementation and rollout of that, which is going to help us with our death statistics. We assisted in the fires at Gatlinburg. I also assisted in when the Blue Angel crash that was there in Rutherford County, I believe in May, probably of 2016. I went to that scene and assisted them with that. We've gone to multiple hospitals and doctor's offices to talk to them about death certification and the quality of our death data.
Yeah, okay, that's that was quite an exhaustive list. I appreciate that. All right, so
one more thing. Yeah, one more thing that we're doing, which is kind of exciting. The CDC has a National Violent Death Reporting System, so that would be the NVDRS, and 40 out of the 50 states were participating until this year, and Tennessee, we are now onboarding as one of the last groups of states to participate in that. So we're going to collect data and information on violent deaths that are occurring across the state and have a review team to review those so we can really get deep down into that data and explore what sorts of things are happening in violent deaths. So domestic violence deaths, that will include suicides, it'll include child fatalities due to homicide, so things like that. So we're excited about that. And that program, our investigators are going to the CDC in Atlanta in a couple of weeks to get their training to kick that off.